Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 128 with Matt Arend. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Matt Arend, we explore a number of interesting topics like the story of Sigler Nation, how using social media to tell the school's story attracted high quality applicants, why you should build a mini golf course for open house, and to push yourself to connect at conferences. Thank you for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. I'd like to share an amazing free resource for all listeners of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. It's the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2017. And that's available at schoolzonepodcast.com. And just like the title says, you get the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Well, hey there, better leaders. This is really a treat for me. I am talking with a longtime friend, and I've been trying to get this guy on the show forever, and he finally said yes. I sent him a check for like $1,000. And he's on the show. And so it's such an honor to welcome my friend, Matt Arend, who's an elementary principal in Plano ISD, Plano, Texas, as the principal of Sigler Nation or Sigler Elementary. Matt models servant leadership through working side by side with teachers, never asking anyone to do something he's not willing to do himself. It is through this intentional approach that relationships are cultivated, leading to transformed learning experiences across the campus for students. Matt, welcome to the show.
Man, such a pleasure to be here. I'm honored. I've been a longtime fan, longtime follower, and just excited to continue to grow the Better Leaders, Better School movement. Thank you for having me on. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, the check has been cashed.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. I saw that in my bank account. yeah, and you know, we're building that Better Leaders brand, and we're going to get into Sigler Nation in just a minute. But one thing, you know, I really admire about you too is your focus and intensity and dedication, consistency to a fit leader's lifestyle. And I know, you know, our mutual friend Ryan Jackson's always posting about that. But you know, I follow you just as much, and I'm always like, oh my god, that workout there, that workout of the day. Okay, fine, man, I'm gonna try that one out. I'll post about it. Thank you so much for sharing, and it's an inspiration. But you know, you're busy, right? And a lot of times the principals I work with or listeners, they'll just say, I don't have the time, you know? And there's a lot of excuses about why they are out of shape and they don't see the connection of how that impacts their leadership. And so how have you made time for it and how's it impacted your leadership?
Yeah, that was a great question. And shout out to the underdogs advocate, Ryan Jackson, for beginning that Fit Leaders movement. Awesome to be a part of that. But I'll tell you, I was in college and played college football, and I was an offensive lineman. So tipped the scales at a heavy 285 back in the day. And I vowed to myself on the final day of that season, my last season, that I would never again weigh 285 pounds. So I always kind of have that in the back of my mind, and that drives my well-being and my fitness and the balance. And I think the key word in all of that is trying to find the balance between being the best principal you want to be, but even before that, being the best husband I want to be, being the best dad I want to be, and trying to do all of them well, right? Mm. So it's the balance piece. And there's days that I wish I could work out that I don't. And there's days that I know that I just have to get it in because I can feel myself becoming agitated or just needing that mental release from whatever it is that is consuming me. So man, it's early mornings or it's late nights. Knowing that if I do it when I really want to do it, it's going to take away from my job or it's going to take away from my family. And I do my best to try to not do either one of those things. But when I can come into work having ran or lifted some weights or worked out in the morning, got a good workout in, like I just have I'm focused, right? Like I knew whatever was on my list, I've already got something checked off of it. and I can go into work with the mindset that we're going to do this. On the flip side of that, like last night I went and ran with a bunch of friends super late at night, but it gave me something to look forward to through the parts of my day that kind of may get you tripped up. Like I had some, I knew there was something at the end of the day that I had to look forward to that was going to kind of get me back fired up. So didn't get home until super late, but I was able to get my outlet and get all the stress. All the stress was gone. Walked in the house and then it was family time.
No, I love that. And that's something, you know, I teach through my Goal Crushers course or again through Masterminds, that kind of thing. But it's listeners, it's starting a day with a win. And Matt's perfected that when he does it early morning. You know, you could even start your day with a win even earlier by making your bed. And I used to be, you know, I remember Dennis Miller, if you remember that comedian, he'd be like, why make your bed? You're just going to make, you know, make a mess of it later in the day. And I was like, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. That's exactly why I don't make my bed. And now I've gotten more into like, how do I get more out of life? How do I become more productive, impact more lives? And I've looked at people way more successful than me and they all freaking make their bed.
Yes.
And it's just because it's starting your day with a win. You get up, you just, you know, make the sheets look nice and you know that you're already starting off on the right foot. And that momentum continues through a practice like the Miracle Morning or just doing, you know, participating in some type of fitness. It starts your day with a win. And that is worth, you know, so much in gold. Matt, so our listeners, like if they're going to take their first step toward fitness, you know, what could be some easy wins for them?
Well, they're going to find out what they're interested in, right? My wife, for example, is not a runner. And that's not a thread that we share, but she loves Zumba. So she found herself a couple classes within the community that are offered at a time that works for her. And she jumped into it and she absolutely loves it. So she knows now that she's got a couple days a week that she gets to go and do Zumba. Not an activity that I would choose to go do for exercise, but it's something that she loves. So I guess my advice for the person listening that wants to begin the fit leader's lifestyle or begin that journey is knowing that you can start small, but just find that one thing that interests you, whether it's if it's walking or riding a bike or running, hitting some weights, doing CrossFit, Zumba, whatever the thing is, just find what works for you and then find yourself an accountability partner, someone that can help hold you accountable to what that thing is going to be.
Yep. Accountability partner is key too, because that's the thing, you know, when you do it in community, you are more accountable, right? You know that you're going to let somebody down if you don't show up, or if you invest in a coach, right? A trainer, they're probably have a higher level. They should have a higher level of fitness than you do. And they're going to push you past your limits.
Absolutely.
Let's get specific for our listeners too. You talked about early morning, late at night. So like what type of hours are we talking when you get in the gym?
So, you know what? It's just finished up running the running the Marine Corps in DC. And my training for that, my alarm goes off at 4:45 in the morning, even earlier on Saturday mornings when we're doing our real long runs.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, man, the heat in Texas when that summertime training is kicking
it's
in.
It's brutal. Nobody told me.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So you got to get up before the sun and get it in. But on my long runs on Saturdays, I can wake up super early and get home. And 9 times out of 10, be home. And my boy Cooper is just waking up, or Julie will have just put on a fresh pot of coffee. And I'm still there in time to begin the day with them. Late at night, I will wait until Cooper is in bed. I've had some time with Julie, my wife. So I may sneak out. It might be 8 o'clock at night, but I've set aside that time to make sure that the family came before my workout did. So I'd had dinner, had some family time. They're down for the night, and then I'll go sneak out and take care of my business.
That's awesome. I really appreciate you unpacking those things for people. Because listener, like if you find yourself in a rut and you have some type of goal that's fitness related, you can absolutely do it. Follow Matt. His Twitter handle will be linked up in the show notes. So follow him for inspiration, Twitter, Instagram, follow the hashtag fit leaders to get that inspiration and join the movement. I don't know about you, but I had enough on my plate just thinking about how to operate a building and how to develop my people. That was enough. And that doesn't even include parents. That doesn't even include student issues. And it definitely doesn't include where am I going to find the funding to run all the great programs my students deserve. Well, the great news is I have an amazing free resource for you the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2017. That's available at schoolzonepodcast.com. In this guide, you will be exposed to the best fundraising ideas for schools in 2017. And my favorite company that's described in the guide is School Spirit Vending. The reason School Spirit Vending rises above the rest is because they make fundraising so incredibly hassle-free. What if a company would come in, install vending machines with customized stickers? That's right, stickers that had your logo, that had your mascot, that had whatever you and your students wanted installed. They come in, they take care of the machines. You do no work besides having the machines installed in the school, and you get a cut of the profit. That's where you're going to find money to actually run these programs. So check out the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com and definitely give School Spirit Vending a call. Tell them Danny Sunshine sent you. All right, so let's switch gears a bit. You know, I know you are pumped. You are enthusiastic about Sigler Nation. And I want to hear what it's all about. Please tell us.
Right. So Sigler Nation, Sigler Elementary, you know, every year schools have a theme, right? Something they want to rally everybody around within their school community. And I'm no different. We've had them for years being at Sigler. I was ready for something different. You know, themes come and go, and every year you were trying to come up with something different and something else to inspire. And I just had enough of it. I was like, why are we trying to reinvent something flashy for 1 year, and then the next year later it's gone, and like nobody remembers what it was? So over the summer, spending some time with some teachers and some colleagues, we came up with this idea of Sigler Nation. And it fits within the scope of what we try to accomplish at Sigler. And it's given voice to our students and to our teachers, getting the learning that's taking place within our walls outside of the walls, right? And really just amplifying the voices of the teachers and the students and the families that walk into our doors every day, letting people out there know about all of the great things that our students and our teachers and our parents are doing to try to educate the kids that walk into Sigler Elementary. So Sigler Nation is a rebranding. It's redefining what Sigler Elementary is all about. This little campus of just over 400 kids is ready to take on the world, man. Like, we are going to get our name out there, and we are going to showcase all of the great things that our kids and students and teachers do every day.
No, I love it. So, you know, I can hear the enthusiasm in your voice. And you know, I think as a principal, the role is changing a bit where, you know, you are like the chief marketing officer in some respects of telling your school's story. And some schools, they just don't get that right now. But the more you tell your story, it builds the community pride, right? It builds the connection to the school. It also helps set you up as an expert in the industry of education so that you can benefit. Maybe a corporation or a local business wants to work with you because they see what Sigler Nation is producing and they're excited, right? They know that their kids went through there or their kids are going to be going there. I mean, there's so many positive reasons to brand yourself and tell the community story through social media.
Hey, absolutely. And, you know, as every school year begins and ends, one of the things that we want to focus on is the level of teachers that you recruit or you attract into your buildings, right? This is my 7th year at Sigler Elementary. And when we started, like, people outside of our circle had no idea who Sigler Elementary was, what it stood for. We didn't exist, essentially, right? Like, you had to sell yourself. Every time you met somebody, you were selling yourself to them. And day one, I walked into Sigler Elementary. We got ourselves a Twitter account. We got ourselves on Facebook. We got ourselves out there in the community to let people know that, hey, like, we exist and we're here and we're proud of what we have to offer to our families. You know, we are a Title I bilingual campus. And as Ryan Jackson has said before on your show, like, we've got a building full of some underdogs, man. Mm-hmm. But these underdogs also have a story to share that is pretty remarkable. So getting ourselves out there in the community, connecting our building with other buildings across the country, and just slowly making a name for yourself. I'll tell you what, when it's time to sit down and begin interviewing, hiring teachers, they come to you and they seek you out and they want to work in your building because they've heard about your leadership style, or they've seen the great things that kids and teachers do within your building. So, you know, the school that's down the road that doesn't reflect your demographics, the teachers are looking down the street now and they're like, man, like we want to work at that school. What do we got to do to get into that building? Mm. And you talk about a different narrative than when you're sitting down to interview teachers and they walk in knowing all about you and they know all about your building because they've read your blog and they've seen you on Instagram and they've seen you on Twitter and Facebook. They know your campus story before you even have to start asking them questions.
Yeah. And in a second, I want you to take us to a moment where that became real for you, if you can tell us a story around that. But think about this too, school leaders, you know, you're listening to the show. Most of the time you're hiring, right? And these are going to be younger teachers looking for a position. And these millennials, they're all over social media. So this is a way to connect with people that you might not know how to connect with. This is where they're at. And so they get to understand your mission, vision, values, and come in prepared and fired up saying, pick me. I want to be a part of this and contribute to this community. You're going to attract high quality candidates. But Matt, can you take us to a moment where this became real for you?
Yeah. So for the last three summers, I have volunteered myself to be the summer school principal in the district. And I say volunteer myself, but I wanted it. I wanted it to be at Sigler. I wanted to continue to educate students over the course of the summer. And in doing so, you're able to hire a separate summer school staff than the staff that you have during the school year. So of course, we start with our Sigler teachers and see who's interested, but it gives me an opportunity to look beyond the scope of Sigler and see what other great teachers are across the district that are interested in being summer school folks. So for just wrapped up year number three, right? So the three-year agreement is behind us, and I hope I get to do it again. But through those 3 years, you make such strong connections with the teachers that come in and then go back to other buildings, right? So keep that in mind as I share this story with you. So when I began at Sigler, we're the Title I campus. We have the bilingual students, which we love. The communities that we support don't always agree with that, right? And yeah. And when I started here, some of the families would choose to transfer their students to other buildings because the Kool-Aid they were sipping on was, we don't want our students learning with bilingual students. We do not want our students learning Spanish. Hey, if your child is a high achieving child, they're going to get stuck over in the corner working on things independently because the teacher has to focus on the students that have the higher level of needs. All things that, man, I walked in and I was like, we've got to debunk all of this. Like, this couldn't be further from the truth. Over the course of time, we're able to do that. And I'll tell you, you get a couple parents in that you just pull back the curtain, right? And you show the parents all the great stuff you're doing. And you talk about sharing your story. The best part of that is when you can get other people to start sharing your story. So the parents start sharing that story in the community, and the parents they talk to then are moving into the community. It's no longer, hey, don't go to that school. It's, hey, you need to go check that school out. So we get to the past summer where we are hiring staff for this school year, and phone rings, have a teacher interested that works in a building down the road that serves a different demographic of kids. In fact, it's a building that oftentimes some of our families may choose to transfer to have a demographic that better meets their needs for whatever that reason is. Those teachers are now coming to Sigler. In fact, we've got two of them. So when the community members now walk into our doors, like, you know, if our building is strong enough and good enough for the teachers to come and teach here, what would stop you as a parent from enrolling your child here? You're going to get great access to teachers everywhere.
It's incredible. And I love what you've done through Brandon telling that story, but it's also a ninja tactic as well by hosting summer school and having a different summer school staff. And the key word, building relationships. And it took time to develop. But here you're able to see people that might be able to serve your students at a high level. And then they also say, hey, I want to be a part of this. That's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I don't know that I went into summer school with that mentality, year number one. Like, I just wanted to keep serving kids, right? And surround myself with great teachers who I can learn from too. And it was through those relationships that just continued to evolve. Like, you know, you meet a teacher and you work with the teacher for 3 to 4 weeks. And the relationship doesn't stop there, man. Like, you stay connected online, you stay connected going to meetings, and you just start meeting people and networking. And pretty soon that teacher's talking to teachers in your buildings, and they hear what's happening and they want to be a part of it.
This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, podcasts for educators and podcasts by educators. Listen to all the great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. So Matt, bring us back to the beginning. Tell us why education? How'd you get interested in this profession?
You know, I was very fortunate to have some great teachers in my life at an early age. I can remember Mrs. Rogers, my fifth grade teacher, as if she taught me yesterday. And it was over 20 years ago, right? Mrs. Rogers was the type of teacher that, like, you walked into her room and you knew she was the teacher, and you knew that you wanted to learn from her. But she was also the one that had the big heart, and she would stop and do anything you needed her to do because she loved you as a person, not just as a student. And I carried that with me for several years. And we transitioned from going living in South Dakota as a child to living in Iowa as a teenager. And I remember a teacher I had when I was a junior in high school. He was a literature teacher, and I wasn't a big fan of literature as a junior in high school. But this teacher took the time to connect with you on a personal level. I can remember every Friday he would share some type of a sentimental story from his childhood with us. And he would send us out of his classroom with the phrase, "Buckle your butts. I want to see everybody here on Monday." But it was important to us at the time that he would take time away from teaching and just talk to us, right? Treat us like we were just people in his classroom. So those two teachers were just instrumental in kind of carving a path for me to want to become an educator. And then I have a lot of younger cousins, and I remember going back home for, you know, Christmases and Thanksgivings, and just enjoying being able to pour into kids that were younger than me, even at an earlier age, just sitting down and playing with Legos or playing cards or playing board games. And I think it was that passion that even I had then of teaching young students how to do things, young children how to do things, that carried me forward. So I went into college as a freshman knowing that I'm going to school to be a teacher. So I was fortunate enough to know that going in, got my 4-year degree in education, and jumped right into the student teaching world, in the midst of college. So I went in and had a plan.
I love that. And you've talked about quite a bit of cool things that are happening right now, but I'm going to challenge you a bit. And will you be vulnerable and share your worst leadership mistake and share with the listeners what you've learned from it?
Oh, man. Just one? Because, man, there's a bunch, right? My worst leadership mistake. I'll tell you what. There's a couple. I remember walking into SIGTHER as a first-year principal. If I had to do that again, I'd be a lot more humble. I didn't know everything then, and I'm not sure that I acted as if I did, but I didn't do a very good job of listening and learning at that point. And I will say a mistake that I hope I don't make as often as I used to is just, like I'm sitting here thinking about this, and the importance of hiring great teachers is coming to mind. And we have hired some phenomenal teachers over the courses of the years at SIGTHER here, but we've hired one or two that didn't work out. And I can't help but think, man, when kids do not have the very best teacher possible, like, they lose. And, you know, that year's worth of growth that we want our kids to have just doesn't happen. So being a better listener and making strong hiring decisions and listening to the people that are hiring those teachers with you are two things that early on in my career as a principal, I'd go back and redo in a heartbeat.
I appreciate you sharing that. And now you can brag on yourself a bit. This is actually a new question, so we'll see how we do. But there's this quote by Derek Sivers, which I love. And he says, "What is ordinary to you is extraordinary to me." And that's an important quote to me, because a lot of times we have these habits, routines, and rituals that, you know, at this point are just like hopping on a bike, right? Or walking around. And we don't realize that it's special. But I want you to think deep and explain to the listeners, what do you think is your superpower?
One of the things I love about being a principal is the opportunity we have to grow and develop our teachers, right? And I'm not talking about growing and developing them to become like master teachers or leaders in the building. Like, I'm talking about developing teachers that are going to go on and just conquer the world, right? And I love that. So here at SIGTHER, we've had the opportunity to do that and really empower teachers to take what they do and showcase it to other teachers, whether it's in our district, in our building, outside of our building, at the state level. So we're fixing to go down to TCEA, which is the largest technology conference in the state of Texas, in February. And I have been down there for the last 3 or 4 years, and it blows my mind with the networking that you're capable of doing at an event like that. But for the first 2 years I went, it was just me. And I can look back and probably say I should have taken some teachers with me, but I wanted to figure out what it was all about before I got some other people in line with me. But I was able to come back and start sharing these opportunities with teachers. And pretty soon I had teachers saying, hey, how can I go down there and be a part of that? So we would challenge them to submit proposals. Well, tell you what, come down and present. Like, let's go down and share what it is you're doing, because what you're doing is extraordinary, right? I don't think enough teachers realize what they do and how extraordinary it is. It just is, man. Like, we have phenomenal teachers, and not just at Sigler, just across the country. There's so many teachers that are doing remarkable work that nobody knows about. So I aim to put them in positions where they can share that. So I'm thrilled to say when we go down to Austin in February, there are six teachers that will be going down there with me, and each of them will be presenting something at a state level, many for the first time.
There's some neat things about that too, because that opportunity, one, probably builds their confidence and they bring then a even higher level energy to the classroom. But there's also sometimes some monetary benefit, and we don't get into this for, you know, financial rewards. But I remember sending a few teachers that were just crushing it with intervention and acceleration activities. And we were using a software called Mastery Connect. And the guy who started that's been on the podcast. But long story short, they presented at a conference that Mastery Connect had, showed a number of new teachers like how they just rocked intervention, acceleration, common formative assessment data using that software. And then they were hired out as consultants to make just a little extra money outside of working at the school. So it builds that confidence, increases that energy, probably even like the threshold and pain level that teachers are willing to take in terms of innovation. And then sometimes there's monetary rewards as well.
Correct. So when you say that, it makes me like, I have Paul Erickson, who's been on the show before, in the back of my head, teaching the teacher efficacy, right?
Yes.
Hattie's visible learning and the teacher efficacy. And when teachers believe that they can truly make a difference, when they are so empowered, they have beyond a shadow of a doubt, can walk into a building and know that they are there to make a difference. Like, that's what it's all about, right? And putting teachers and growing teachers to put them in these positions, like, that's what we're doing. And that's what's best for kids.
Absolutely. But on a side note, it's also about kicking Paul's butt in fantasy football. Paul, I'm coming after you. Yeah. No, that's so cool. And it goes back to social media too, remember, and just telling your school's story, you know, getting the story out there and getting people excited about what you're doing. And I think for the listeners, the challenge for you is, how are you telling your school's story? And number two, like Matt's talking about, teachers might not even realize the amazing stuff they're doing. So my question to you, listener, are you telling them, right? Are you noticing the amazing work that your staff is putting in and day out? And then how are you sharing that story and communicating, this is really valuable what you do and I appreciate it? So let's give you, Matt, an opportunity for a second to brag on your staff. And what's something from Sigler Nation that you're particularly proud of accomplishing over the last year?
So Sigler was put up for an award this last spring. I've been able to be a part of a Texas Principals Visioning Institute for the last couple of years, which is a collection of principals from across the state that you would consider to be kind of the risk takers, the renegades, the people that walk in the room and are like, oh boy, like here comes that principal. Like, he's going to move my cheese. He does stuff differently. It's been super powerful to connect with so many different principals across the state of Texas that, you know, that kind of think like you do, right? So we are recognized for an award that they began giving out this year entitled Schools Transforming Learning. And that has everything to do with our teachers and very little to do with me. It's teachers that buy into the belief that we can do school differently. And it's the opportunity to provide experiences and just different learning opportunities for kids that didn't exist 10 to 15 years ago in schools. Like, I want our teachers to know that when kids walk into Sigler, they're being exposed to something different than if they're walking into another elementary school in another part of town. Like, we just want to do it differently.
Can you tell us what you mean by that? Because a lot of people say it, and I don't know, you know, that everyone always understands what school might look like or what's possible. So how are you being different?
Yeah, right. Don't talk about it. Be about it. So when you walk into school, here's a great example is, you know, traditionally, and I'll start from the beginning of our day. We have many of our kids that walk in 7 a.m, they're here to eat breakfast, and then they sit in the cafeteria. And for as important, mm-hmm. and they sit in the gym, for as important as instruction is, so we're developing relationships with our students, right? And you've heard before about the power in like the families or the family atmosphere in a school. Yeah. So we made up this acronym. We call it CASA, and it stands for Creating and Supporting Amigos. And it's a time that we spend once a month doing just that, putting our kids in situations where we've knocked down the grade level walls, and you're interacting with kids across our campus, right? Fifth graders are with kindergartners, and kindergartners are with fourth graders, and we're developing relationships across the campus, specifically focusing on that empathy idea, right? Mm-hmm. Getting to know one another and building that sense of I care about you and you care about me and we're all in this together. So you can walk into our gym in the morning, and where you used to see traditional grade level lines, kids waiting for the bell to ring to go to class, we have our CASA groups. So it's groups of, you know, maybe 9 to 10 students together, and they're playing board games, they're reading books, they're playing cards, they're helping each other out. It's just a fun atmosphere to be in. We want to take advantage of the time that we have with kids, and having them sit in lines waiting to go to class doesn't do it. So we start those relationships the minute they walk into the building. You know, another thing that we're super proud of and is trying to do something differently is that when you look at open house, when we do open house in the spring, the traditional open house has parents walking in, going to the student's desk, looking through a portfolio of work or listening to some type of speech or
over and over and over
again. The same thing, right? It's the same thing. Like you can walk into open house as a parent and predict what it's going to look like because you've had kids in school before, you've seen it before. So we challenged that and we wanted to look different. So 2 years ago, we turned our entire building into, we called it Sigler Land. And it was essentially a carnival throughout the entire building. And the weeks leading up to that, we posed STEAM challenges to the students, all focused around specific science teaches, because for as much fun as you want to have at school, like we're still accountable to teaching students, you know, what they need to learn within their grade levels and their subject areas. So we turned it into Sigler Land, and every grade level had a science teach they were focused on. But in order to focus on it, they had to create. So you walked into Sigler Land that night, and every grade level had a different product that was all hands-on, all organic, made from students, guided by teachers across the entire campus. And then you walk into our library, which is what we call our learning commons or a makerspace area, and the kids had created a six-hole mini golf course inspired by some of the work that the great Brad Gustafson is doing up in Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
We collaborated with a teacher on his campus, and we had turned it into a six-hole mini golf course. But instead of golf balls and putters, the children were working with their parents on programming spheros to try to navigate the putting greens that were in the library. So it's awesome, from a principal standpoint, I'm like, okay, hold on. We've got five classes of first graders going to come in here and all work together on this putt-putt course, but never at the same time. So a class of 20 would come in and get to a certain point in the project and they'd have to leave. The next class would come in and I'm thinking, okay, they're going to totally destroy what the other class just did. They're not going to think it's good enough. But it was the opposite happened. They came in and they're like, this is great. We're going to do this to make it even better. And by the end of that project, we turned our library into a mini golf course. It was remarkable.
That is remarkable. And thank you. I'm glad I asked that question, because getting specific with it, and you got the CASA and you got the mini golf that you just described. You know, we're recording this audio. I wish you could see video. I have the biggest grin on my face right now. It is different, and that sounds exciting. And it's exciting for us as the educators, but I can only imagine how exciting it was for the students we serve and their parents.
Yeah, and that's the piece that will sell you, is that when we do projects that involve our parents, I can think of one right now where a teacher, like, we're not big fans of homework at Sigler. But if it's intentional and purposeful homework, I love it. We had a teacher give a child an old iPod to send home with the task of recording.
Okay.
Her mom,
uh-huh.
answer some specific questions about a global project they were working on. So they were working on, it was a culture-based project connecting with schools across the country, across the world, actually. And it was about food. Well, our focus here was on tamales. So the daughter went home, some scripted questions that she had written out in advance, and recorded her mom answering the questions. And I've never seen a parent pour in so much effort in trying to answer questions. And I mean, just the way she was, I mean, sitting up straight, amplifying her voice on this recorded message that she knew other kids in the classroom were going to see, or teacher was going to see. Like, it's one of those moments as a principal where you're just like, that's what learning is supposed to be about, man. Like, we've got the parents involved in this. The parents are proud of what's taking place. The child's proud of it. Like, and the teacher's just sitting back like, this is amazing. Like, this is what learning is supposed to look like.
Absolutely. I love it. Conferences, piles of flyers, getting stuck in endless email lists and never-ending calls. There's an easier way to sort through and identify the best school fundraisers. School Spirit Vending proudly presents the top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017. It's a guide of the top fundraising companies hand-picked from the best podcast. As an added bonus, this guide lists 5 resource companies that would add tremendous value to your community, school, and students. The best part is that School Spirit Vending is giving the guide away completely free. Are you ready to simplify the search? Download the free guide at schoolzonepodcast.com. Matt, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself as a novice principal?
Oh boy, that you don't have to be the expert at everything. And you do not have to do it all by yourself. And I think that comes with time. And, you know, we've talked a lot about relationships. That comes with developing that trust and relationship. And it's okay to tell people that you do not know, and that you can surround yourself with people in identifying what your strengths are. You can surround yourself with people that have strengths that maybe you don't possess.
What's one class we should add to our schools that's not currently taught of that you know?
I love this question, and it's the question that I struggle with the most, man. I love hearing people's responses to this.
Yeah.
Because I think the more episodes I've been able to listen to, I think the answers continue to force the envelope a little bit. And there's a lot of schools that are doing some of the things that maybe were originally talked about. There are so many creative things that you wish you could do in schools, but I'm going to take it back. I tell you what, the one thing that I wish we spent more time doing was specifically teaching empathy to students and giving them opportunities to model that and showcase that. Now, that's not flashy. That's not necessarily what you'd consider a present day tool that's going to, you know, it's not flashy. It's not 21st century, but like at the heart of what you want to do, like you want your kids to leave your school being great people. And I'm not sure that we invest enough time in teaching our kids how to be great people.
Yeah. It's tough to hear. It's tough to swallow, but it's true. And it's those things that we take for granted, right? We want kids to grow up and be wonderful contributors to society and just all around awesome people. But we get so focused on just content,
yes,
and making sure like kids are quote unquote successful. But even if they get into Harvard and let's say their family never even went to college, but they're a terrible person, who cares? In my book. That's my opinion, but
completely agree. I want great people first every day.
That'd be a good mission statement. Great people first every day.
Great people first.
Yeah. Speaking of great people, when you think of the word leader, who's the first person that comes to mind?
Man, another great question. From a historical standpoint, of course, you know, the names like Abraham Lincoln come to mind and the leadership practices that we still learn from him today. I'm a sports nut. So, you know, iconic coaches come to mind. And I think that you say leader, I say coach, and I think they're kind of synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
But John Wooden.
Yes.
Like I love me some John Wooden.
Yes.
I've got a buddy who loves to quote John Wooden. And every time he drops a John Wooden quote on me, I'm just like, gosh, that guy was so smart.
Yeah.
Smart beyond his years, man. And just, you know, I look at coaching and sports as such a great parallel to leadership. And I've had some phenomenal coaches in my day, but I'll look at some of those coaching trees that you look out. Like, I'm an Iowa boy, so I'm not an Iowa Hawkeye fan, but I can look at a guy like Hayden Fry, who coached the Iowa Hawkeyes for a long time, and you start looking at coaches that were assistants or grad assistants under him at one point that have now gone on to coach their own programs, to lead their universities, to coach at the highest level. For me, that's what leadership is about, is taking those folks that work right alongside of you and growing their capacity to really replace you, like go out and be even better than you are at what you do.
That's the thing. Reproduce yourself and make them even better. That goes back to that coaching model. And let me drop three John Wooden quotes for you I looked up while you were talking. These are all great. Whatever you do in life, surround yourself with smart people who will argue with you. It's the
challenge.
Because, you know, it's so easy. You know, and that's one way of thinking of diversity, too. And we need to think about it in many different ways, right? Gender and in terms of ethnicity, sexual orientation. But diversity, even in just how you think. Because if you surround yourself with people that think like you and say, oh, man, that's a great idea. Well, that's because they're just like you. Your team doesn't get better. And he says,
absolutely,
surround yourself with smart people who will argue with you, leaders. Here's two more. It's the little details that are vital. Little things make big things happen. And be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are.
It's good stuff, man. I say that to our students all the time, is it's not about how you act when teachers or people are around. It's how you are when nobody is looking. And that's the truth of your character right there. That's an awesome quote.
All right. So we're heading into the quick fire round. So four questions, sort of quicker responses. You give a little bit of detail, but then we're going to end with that question. You know it's coming, so we'll stop with that. So, Matt, what's one book every principal should read right now and why?
I just wrapped up Collaborative Leadership by Peter DeWitt. And I love the approach to highlighting six influences from Hattie's work that the book says that matter the most. It's a great guide for a leader to be able to really pinpoint what do I need to be focused on as a building leader, knowing that I'm not doing it by myself. And I love the ties that he ties in the Student Voice book as well. The Student Voice, Instrument of Change, and Collaborative Leadership are two great books. You asked for one, I gave you two.
What do you do for fun?
Well, I love to exercise. We talked about that. That Fit Leaders movement has just captivated me. But when I am not exercising and not working, I love to be at the park. And I'm a self-proclaimed, my son and I are Pokemon Go addicts.
Yes.
Right?
Do you have like a favorite Pokemon you've caught?
Me personally, no, I don't. Like they're all great, right?
Yeah.
But my son is a huge fan of Pikachu. So we've got a bunch of different types of Pikachus.
That's because Pikachu's the bomb. I love Pikachu. That's awesome. Who did you start with? Which character?
Man, the very first one that we caught?
No, like you know how you could pick
Your partner?
Yes.
Oh geez, it's Pikachu. Of course. Oh,
gotcha. That's good stuff. If you could automatically be good at something, what would it be?
Okay, this is twofold, right? So I can't dance and I can't rap. So I would love to be able to dance and be able to rap.
Start today. Growth mindset. What message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do that for just one day?
No, I think it'd be simple. It's come inside and join us. Mm. I think the community, whether you're a parent or a community member, like, people have to know what takes place inside the walls. And with the attack public education is under today, I don't know that there's enough folks that realize what takes place inside our schools.
What I like about that, because a lot of times people say something very heartfelt, and I really appreciate this idea of like, you are worthy, you know, and they're building people up, that kind of thing. But this is the first time that I can remember in a while that somebody said, come inside and join us. And it's just such a welcoming, you know, idea and like service oriented. So I really appreciate that one a lot. Well, here we go, Matt. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by your budget or resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, and what would be your top three priorities?
Well, let's start with the priorities. The first one is really tapping into the student voice, right? The interests and the passions of our students. So that's got to be first and foremost. And once you've discovered what those passions are, you build a school that's going to support those passions for your kiddos. So first priority, student voice. Second priority is attracting teachers that are going to support that. And then third is getting parents involved. So your school isn't just a place where kids come to learn and teachers come to teach. It's a point in the community where everybody shows up to invest in the students and invest in the school. As far as how you build that, man, there's a lot less walls and a lot less structure when it comes to bells and content areas and schedules. Like we can get inundated with schedules, man. Mm. Master schedules and support schedules and special ed schedules. And it becomes a jigsaw puzzle to put it all together. And in a way, it's all necessary. But if you could build that dream school, I'd put all them schedules in a binder and put it all away, man. And just let it be a free place where kids can come and learn when they want to learn, how they want to learn. If they want to go eat lunch 30 minutes before their scheduled lunchtime, then go eat lunch. And we'll see you back when lunch is finished and we'll keep rolling.
Yeah, that's awesome. The flexibility, you know, the personalization and that's a great way to push our listeners. Well, Matt, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter @Matthew_Aaron. Find me on Instagram with the same name. Facebook, it's Matt Aaron. And then check out my blog, MatthewAaron.com. Would love to connect with all of the listeners out there with Better Leaders, Better Schools. As far as parting words of advice, I tell you what, it doesn't matter where you are today. Make sure you're somewhere better tomorrow and surround yourself with people that are going to help you get you there.
Better leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life's 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Matt. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Matt in the search bar, and the show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Matt, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Honored, man. Thank you for the opportunity.
Better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show. And feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.